And welcome to Stop the Presses here on the 4th of September 2019. Happy 91st birthday, I might note, to my mother, Catherine Dolores Anderson. Happy birthday, Mom. 4th of September 2019. Now, my guest today is Ian R. Crane. He's been on the show one other time, this past spring, I believe it was. And Ian's got a whole series. This is the main focus today, but not the only topic. He's got a whole series on 5G, Is It Safe? And it's a series of forums going on throughout the UK, starting, if I'm reading this right, Ian, at your website, ianrcrane.com, starting on the 7th of September in Appledore, and going through, looks like about a dozen and a half or so, I'll count them later, presentations on 5G, Is It Safe? Of course, we'll talk about GC Math and David Noakes and some of these things today. But Ian, I know that you've been a fighter on the front lines against fracking, especially excessive, dangerous fracking, and now this is a major focus for you. And I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, that the UK seems to be a proving ground for a very heavy installation of 5G.
It's certainly looking that way, Mark. And the reality, of course, is that the 5G frequencies, the microwave frequencies, are not proven to be safe. In fact, I think it's back in February, Senator Blumenthal held a hearing in which the telecoms industry admitted that they are not aware of any independent studies which prove 5G frequencies to be safe, and also under questioning from Senator Blumenthal, admitted that basically the industry wasn't planning on funding any independent studies. And this is primarily because they know fine well that if there were any independent studies, then the likelihood is that they would find that 5G microwave frequencies are not proven to be safe and the precautionary principle should be applied. But the industry and the governments are intent on rolling this technology out on a largely unsuspecting population right across the developed world in the first instance. And, you know, the effects of RF radio frequencies are already being felt by a significant number of people. But once 5G is installed, then it's going to become endemic. And so, you know, what I'm planning to do is, and it's already, you know, there's already a fairly good level of awareness, and we've had some success with local authorities putting moratoria on the further rollout of 5G infrastructure until such time as it is proven to be safe. And the one thing that I'm pretty sure about is that that ain't going to happen anytime soon.
Yes, I'm seeing 22 forums or presentations on 5G, Is It Safe, if my count is right. September 7th, Appledore at St. Mary's Hall, Bristol, Holiday Inn, September 9th, and so on. We'll list more of them later. But yeah, like you indicated, Ian, even the 4G world that we inhabit, smart meters and the problems that have been cited with those, with some significant scientific evidence, and other devices and technologies, the 4G world is troubling enough. But now we hear, and I haven't seen this directly in America, maybe I haven't gotten around enough, although I travel quite a bit, but I understand that over there they've cut down tens of thousands of trees in the UK to improve the line of sight for the pending 5G. So it certainly sounds like they're very serious there. Has there been many questions even of that, of the clearing of land and the re-landscaping for this? Has that raised more awareness than otherwise would have been the case?
Absolutely. And by the way, it is happening in the US. And, you know, you don't have to search too hard to find numerous reports of trees in cities being cut down. And one of the most outrageous was, I think, in Asheville, in I think it's North Carolina, right, which is a beautiful, beautiful community, you know, sort of built in the forest, basically. And, you know, trees were being culled at a phenomenal rate in Asheville. But, you know, there are towns and communities, cities all across the U.S. and a number I'm aware of in California, you know, where the trees have been cut because microwave frequencies work on line of sight. So now this is, there's two issues here. One, because of the frequency, it has to be at a much lower power. And so consequently, you need more transmitters. And in fact, for 5G to be truly effective, there will need to be a transmitter every 150, 200 meters. And you know, 5G is not being rolled out for the benefit of faster downloads. I mean, that's a complete crock. 5G is being rolled out to facilitate the Internet of Things and the introduction of autonomous vehicles. So, you know, this is labeled as the fourth industrial revolution, which it may well be, but the implications of this are enormous. So if I stay initially with the health implications, and like you say, even with 4G, there are problems. But, you know, there have been a number of cases in the UK where communities have been extremely concerned about phone masts manifesting adjacent to schools. And in a number of cases, particularly two I'm very aware of, one in South Devon, in the southwest of England, in Totnes, and one in London, in Haringey. And here, the parents basically refused to put their children into the school until such time as they got confirmation that the phone mast was not going to be switched on and ultimately would be removed and resighted. Well, this proved to be somewhat prescient because in April of this year, there was a report from Ripon in California of a school where I think it was four children had developed cancers. And the only thing that had changed, I mean, this was, you know, pretty much unknown in the school, and then four children to get cancer at the same time. And the only thing that had changed was that Sprint had erected this phone mast literally within meters of the school. And of course, you know, Sprint deny that their phone mast has been in any way responsible for triggering this cancer cluster. And then, of course, points out, well, all the cancers are different. Like that's meaningful because obviously people's physical vehicles react in different ways to the microwave frequencies. And so although Sprint were in absolute denial that the phone mast had anything to do with it, they have at least in the short term switched it off pending further research. But, you know, there's also a fire station. I believe it was San Jose, but don't really quote me on that. Any of your listeners can find it with a relatively cursory search. But there was a fire station where the fire service had agreed to a phone mast being mounted on top of the firehouse. And the firemen were suffering from insomnia. They were starting to become irritable, get depression. And eventually, they came to the realization that actually, you know, it was the phone mast that was probably triggering this. And so they demanded that the phone mast be removed. And indeed, it was. And of course, this is the problem. You know, there's nothing physical to see. And it doesn't hit you necessarily straight away. It sort of creeps up on you. And, you know, even myself, this is now 4 years ago. But, you know, I spent much of the last 5 years living in the countryside. I mean, I've spent much of that time on anti-fracking camps. And when I'm not on an anti-fracking camp, I live in a caravan in a field away from civilization. Well, a few years ago, somebody offered me the opportunity to stay in their apartment while they were away for a few months. And it was a beautiful apartment in a beautiful part of the country, lovely views. But I spent 3 nights there because I couldn't sleep. And eventually, when I clicked on my computer to look at all the available Wi-Fi signals, I realized that I was being totally bombarded with Wi-Fi. And so I thought, well, you know, I can't prove it, but this is the only thing that's different from my usual living location. So I left after 3 nights, went back to my caravan and had a great night's sleep. And obviously, you know, I do spend a lot of time on the road. I spend a lot of time in towns and cities, although not staying there. But I, like many, many other people, now have mild tinnitus. And you know, a few weeks ago, I took my youngest son on an expedition, and we went into an old slate mine in North Wales. And at one point, we were 1,300 feet underground. And I actually said to my son, I said, you know, just stop for a second, because for the first time, for a long time, I have no ringing in my ears. So, you know, obviously the industry dismisses this and says, oh, no, this is just rampant conspiracy theory. And, you know, Mark, isn't it amazing how powerful the salary check is at creating cognitive dissonance? Because anybody whose salary is dependent upon them actually not acknowledging that there might be some risk here, or acknowledging that there have been no independent studies, and you know, the studies that have been done have generally been done by the military, and they've acknowledged for 40 odd years that, you know, if you have overexposure to radio frequencies, and particularly microwave frequencies, then they do have a negative health impact.
Yeah, indeed. The absence or relative lack of gainful self-employment, you know, tax laws and regulatory laws in the U.S., perhaps in the U.K., that make self-employment or self-directed, you know, living and earning a living, that kind of thing, any policies that discourage that basically drive people into corporate jobs, and the corporate jobs demand a strict ideological protocol and adherence to corporate command, and therefore people are very unwilling to buck the system once they get hooked on those salaries. So the way the work state works, or dysfunctions, one might say, is a pernicious sort of under the floorboards influence there. Whenever self-employment and the freedom to earn a living as you so choose, whenever that's diminished, you have this overdependency on the man, the central system. And that is a ongoing problem that dissuades people from otherwise being a whistleblower, dissuades them from otherwise speaking out or trying to stand up to tyranny and falsehoods. It is a major problem, just like scientists that are heavily dependent on grants will come out with whatever conclusion that the grant wants them to have, you might say. So, yeah, a lot of buying of influence there. But that aside, it's admirable that you're taking this on so directly and putting on nearly two dozen programs to focus on this. I wish you a lot of luck on it, because it's really important. As you say, a lot of people are rather unsuspecting about it. They see the trees going down, but as you say, they, you know, you don't see the actual electromagnetic frequencies. You know, they're invisible to the naked eye. And so people, in their quest to keep their job, in their day-to-day grind and routine, tend to kind of look the other way or go into denial. But certainly it's not conspiracy theory by any way, shape, or form. It's simply wanting to know the facts. An environmental impact statement like any other, if there were a large dam being put in, or a nuclear power station, or even a coal firing plant, whatever it might be, we deserve as the public to know the environmental impact. And it's amazing that 5G or any kind of communications technology would be viewed any differently. I mean, it's just common sense.
Except that it's not particularly surprising, because obviously, you know, the US and the UK are very much a corporatocracy. It, you know, it masquerades as a democracy, a presidential democracy in the US and a parliamentary democracy in the UK. But in reality, that democracy is little more than a charade, because the reality is that the corporations and their lobbyists run rampant, and you know, the political system is simply there as literally a sort of pantomime to convince the masses that, you know, there is some form of democratic process. And but you're absolutely right, and you know, I would simply encourage people to search Ripon, California school cancer, and then they'll see the reports there. And you see the Sprint representative, who's, when she's asked by the investigative reporter as to whether Sprint believe that the mast has in any way contributed to these cancers in the school, and her immediate response is absolutely not. Well, this is a ridiculous response. I mean, she's not a medical professional. She's not even a scientist. You know, she's basically a simple a PR rep of Sprint. And so for her to make that statement is disingenuous, to say the least. but her salary check depends on her descending into cognitive dissonance and having zero empathy with the people in the school. So, you know, they want to appear to be responsive, so they say, oh, okay, yeah, we're going to shut the tower down, sort of pending further research. But in reality, you know, Sprint and every other company should be saying, you know what, there's clearly a problem here. And if we're going to avoid that problem, then obviously Indeed. We need more research before rolling this out. But, you know, they've invested so much, and everybody just assumes that somebody else has done the research. And you know, they're not doing due diligence. And so what I'm doing when I go to these communities, I mean, I make it clear that I'm not saying that the whole telecoms industry is necessarily unsafe. I believe it's unsafe, but the reality is that there hasn't been any independent studies. And the anecdotal evidence, and Ripon is a classic example, you know, would suggest that there are problems that should be investigated, and until such time as they're investigated, the precautionary principle should apply. So I'm simply encouraging communities, or individuals in the communities, to take a look at the evidence that's in the public domain, and then decide whether or not they are satisfied that the risk is so low that it's inconsequential. But my opinion is that when they start to actually address the issue and they do the necessary research, they will quickly realize that actually their community has become lab rats. And, you know, last week I did an episode of Humanity versus Insanity with Dr. Graham Downing, and in the first half of that program we looked at all the examples, and there are some horrendous examples in the US where the government, the military and the corporatocracy has used communities as lab rats. And of course, in particular, the ethnic minorities, the black community, the Hispanic communities, are primarily targeted for experimentation. And, you know, this is obviously not considered acceptable in polite company. But, you know, once you actually close the doors and get into the boardroom, they want to test stuff out, so they'll test it on minorities within the community. And in the UK, you know, we have numerous examples, particularly of the government and the military spreading bacteria, doing cloud seeding, and in fact, an infamous experiment in 1952 where the RAF was experimenting with cloud seeding, which led to massive flooding, which led to 26 deaths. And yet that's another example of communities being used as lab rats to try out something that the government, the military, or the corporatocracy wanted to bring into play.
On that note, Ian, we got about 1 minute or less before the first commercial break. And for listeners, just FYI, it is Ripon, California, R-I-P-O-N, Ripon, California. Unified School District working with Sprint to move a cellular phone tower near Weston Elementary, W-E-S-T-O-N. Maybe it's pronounced Ripon, California. However, it's pronounced as R-I-P-O-N. We'll be back with more from Ian Crane right after these ads.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Center. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
And R. Crane on today's Stop the Presses show, 4th of September 2019. And we're talking mainly about the widespread promotion, despite very strong indications of adverse health effects, of the 5G grid here in the States, stateside, and in the UK and beyond. And Ian, what you were describing certainly is cause for pause, you know, cause, as you say, for cooler heads to prevail, and take the precautionary principle that, you know, better safe than moving ahead unsafe. And are you seeing any cracks in the monolith here? In other words, you know, we've seen Sprint be a little bit accommodating to the firemen, to the school. Are you seeing that in the UK, where some of the corporateers are saying, okay, maybe we need to back off a little? Are they being accommodating, or are you encountering a monolith over there?
Look, where there is pressure on them, particularly by parents, then the phone companies are acquiescing, because they are very sensitive to the fact that if something like that goes viral, then they've got a problem. So if parents do actually take the initiative and say, you know what, we're not sending our children to the school, we're not putting them in what we consider to be an unsafe environment. No, we have parental responsibility. And there, rather than, say, meet the parents head on, they are simply saying, oh, you know what, okay, we'll quietly shut the mask down and move the transmitter elsewhere. Now, what we are finding is that, what's interesting, is that where local councils are being made aware of the concerns, councillors that have been long-term in their civic role have basically become institutionalized, and consequently they are next to useless, and they might as well be mouthpieces for the corporation. Now, every one of those councillors went into office, I'm sure, with determination to be altruistic, to do something of value for the community. But they very quickly learned that there were far greater benefits to actually working with the corporatocracy and listening to the corporate lobbyists. So the councillors that are listening to people's concerns tend to be the councillors that are relatively new to their civic responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so in those areas, we are getting some success. And in fact, we had a success in a community in the southwest of England, not very far from where I'm talking to you from this evening. This council had a meeting last week, and under the leadership of the local mayor, they agreed that they will do everything they possibly can to implement a moratorium on the rollout of any further telecom infrastructure pending further investigation, i.e. applying the precautionary principle that right. basically no further infrastructure should be rolled out until such time as this is proven to be safe. Now, that local authority are now going to come under enormous pressure from the corporatocracy and from the government and from the pseudo NGOs that are operating effectively as government lobbyists in the community. But nonetheless, I think this community has the conviction and it will hold its ground. And hopefully this will provide a model. You know, there have been other communities that have said, yeah, we'll take a look at it, but haven't actually got as far as putting a moratorium in place. And then there are other communities who just say, you know what, we're not interested. We're not interested, and we're just going to do whatever the corporations or the government tells us to do. Now, the good news is that every authority, whether it's local authority, district, or county, they have a constitution, and those constitutions are legally binding. And so what I'm doing when I speak with communities is I'm encouraging them to download those freely available constitutions and identify within the constitution the responsibility that the councillors and the officers of the council have for the health, safety and well-being of people who reside in those communities, and to remind them that they have a legal responsibility. And if they fail to do their due diligence over 5G and there is harm to people within the community, then they will not only have failed in their role as a councillor, but they will be in breach of the constitution and could potentially be subject to, you know, some legal action in the future. And, you know, some of the local councillors say, yeah, but, you know, those documents aren't worth the paper they're written on. But they're there for a reason. They are legally binding, and maybe they've never been sort of called into usage before, but they certainly will be now.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a muscle that's not exercised. Constitutions are of no real value if they lie dormant. They have to be invoked, they have to be cited, and they have to be applied. And then they take on that life. They take on that power to keep power in check. Very good point. Can we name that community that did do the right thing, that imposed the moratorium?
Because this is so hot. They are working on the wording because obviously they know they're going to be getting a lot of opposition.
Right. Well, there's the ads, the inevitable ones at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back with more from E&R Crane on 5G and other matters. Stay tuned.
A simple smile, such platonic eye. How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, Log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
With Stop the Presses on the 4th of September 2019. My guest, Ian R. Crane. A quick heads up, I'm working on a story on the besieged family of Nick and Donna Nickerson, who own a ranch in Idaho, kind of a getaway ranch, and their main homestead is Montana. They are under assault, financial terrorism, in fact, they say, from Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, and other loan servicing companies and corrupted lawyers, judges, and other officials. This fits in, ladies and gentlemen, with my interviews here on RBN with Mickey Paletta and others to a point about the growing pernicious foreclosure racket here in the States and somewhat beyond. It's particularly bad here in the States, and this is one of the most egregious cases where the family believes they are being targeted not just because of maybe the valuable land they own, and maybe it's part of Agenda 2030, the former Agenda 21, to take that land, the whole Wildlands Project and all that, but they believe they're also being targeted for their Christian and conservative beliefs, a kind of deplatforming and demonetizing in the real world, not just in cyberspace. This is a developing story. Look for that soon at AmericanFreePress.net and or TheTruthHound.com, my main blog. So continuing now with today's show with Ian R. Crane. Ian, the 5G thing is certainly the centerpiece for today. But before we get back with that and list more of the upcoming programs and dig into it a little more, how is AV-11 coming along? I know AV-10, if I'm getting my numbers right, AV-10 was earlier this year.
It was in May.
Okay, yeah, it was in May. That was AV-10, right?
AV-10, yeah. And Well, AV11, which is in May of 2020, and AV11 was basically sold out within 3 weeks of AV10 finishing. I mean, the Alternative View conferences have now become the sort of primary alternative events in the UK. I mean, there are many, many other events, but what makes the Alternative View events unique is that all the speakers are encouraged, dare I say, I'm choosing my words carefully, they're actually required, to be available to speak with people informally. And, you know, nothing frustrates me more than attending a conference where a speaker rocks up on stage, pontificates for 45 minutes, an hour, or even more, and then leaves the stage, and that's it. They've disappeared into the ether. And nobody has a chance to sort of question them or even have a chat with them. So what I do is the events are, if they're multi-day events, then they are residential. And all the speakers are effectively required to be available to speak to the attendees of the event throughout the entire weekend on an informal basis. And this is, you know, this is unique. And it is obviously, it is a community. And, you know, people come to an Alternative View event knowing that they can talk about anything they want to talk about without fear of ridicule. Now, that doesn't mean to say that everyone's going to agree with everyone else. Of course they're not. But
right,
an environment for healthy debate. And one of the mantras that I always remind people of at the start of any AV event is that it's okay to disagree. Social media has created this situation where people now are so shallow that the moment anyone disagrees with them, then they're branded a shill or a government agent or whatever, or something worse. And, you know, my attitude is that, you know, social media has a role to play, but it does not replace the face-to-face discussion.
Nor should it. And yes, absolutely.
Neither should it. And so consequently, I now run the main event, which is the AV10 last May, AV11 next May. But then I have an interim event, and the interim events are this one will be 10.1 in October. And there are still some tickets available for AV 10.1. This is a one-day event in London on the last weekend of October. Now, the choice of date is very much deliberate because, in theory, it should be the last weekend that Britain is part of the European Union, although we haven't got the time to discuss that this evening, but I don't think that's going to necessarily work out quite the way that people think. One of the issues that we will be very much addressing, and if you haven't had this gentleman on your show, Mark, I would absolutely encourage you to get in contact with him. And this is David Dubine. And David delivered a truly outstanding presentation on the grand solar minimum, which we are literally sliding into right now. Grand solar minimum is something that the establishment have known about for a long time. And basically, it's a natural phenomena which is contributing very directly to the extreme weather that's being experienced all around the planet. And basically, the establishment have tried to create the mythology that humanity is responsible for this extreme weather through anthropogenic climate change. Well, that is a complete crock of crap. And I'm sure many of your listeners know this. And, you know, those people who are aware of the report from Iron Mountain, Brzezinski's Between Two Ages, the Club of Rome discussions, you know, on seeking a new enemy to unite us and deciding that global warming, you know, was that enemy. And then the ClimateGate emails released in 2012. And so it doesn't take too much to realize that the whole anthropogenic climate change agenda is a construct. It's a political and corporatist construct to blame humanity for a natural phenomena. And actually, the impact of that natural phenomena is going to be very, very significant. And in fact, the impact of that will be felt, certainly this coming winter, because many farmers in the US and Canada have not been able to plant anything like, their usual acreage. And, Trump tried to offset this recently when people started asking questions. And Trump made the fallacious announcement that the wheat production in the US was greater than in previous years, and in fact Japan had already agreed to buy the surplus. This is not true, and in fact the impact on all crops from the extreme weather is very, very significant right across the globe. In fact, Newfoundland and Nova Scotia have basically announced that as provinces, they're out of agriculture because it's just becoming far too difficult to grow because of the increasing levels of frost. And so David Dubine delivered a truly stunning presentation at AV10, and AV has been trying to raise awareness of this phenomena for a decade now. We've had numerous presenters speaking about this, going right back to the first AV event in 2008, and not at every AV event, but probably at least half of them, we've had a speaker, including some celebrities like David Bellamy and Johnny Ball, may not be well known in the US, but certainly well known in the UK, all trying to expose the construct. And now, of course, we've got the establishment really trying to ram this construct home with Greta Thunberg, the new messiah to the climate extremists.
Oh, yeah, the young lady, Justin Walker, was on this show and explained what he thought her propaganda value was.
Well, and, you know, I mean, obviously, take a look at the work of Corrie Morningstar, because she has been producing some outstanding investigative work on the corporatist leaks behind the manipulation of Greta Thunberg. I mean, she's basically a puppet. And I mean, in my opinion, it is child abuse. I mean, she is being set up for a major psychological collapse, you know, when at some point in the future she realizes the magnitude to which she has been exploited for a political construct. So David Dubine will be coming back and speaking at AV 10.1. he'll also be coming back and speaking at AV 11, because I think that what he has to share is so important, and in my opinion he is the researcher that is absolutely on point on this issue.
What's going on at AV 10.1? I see here it's the 27th of October in London, and that it's £49. I know that people can arrange to see it.
Website, it's £59. It's £59, but it will be streamed, and the live stream tickets will be available shortly. The cost of the live stream, I think, is going to be... Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. I think the cost of the live stream... Excuse me, something tickled my nose. The cost of live stream, I think, is going to be around about £25, which is just under $30, I think, at current exchange rates. So people will be able to watch the event live. And if they purchase a live stream ticket, they will also be able to watch the presentations multiple times over the subsequent month of November.
So okay, that's good to know. That's enrcrane.com, ladies and gentlemen, enrcrane, C-R-A-N-E.com, to learn more about AV 10.1, and also you can get information on seeing the presentation from this past May of AV 10. And you're saying AV 11 is already sold out in terms of spectators, is that right?
Completely. I mean, we will be live streaming it, so, and the live stream facilities will go online. The tickets will go online in January. But, yeah, I mean, this is the reputation of the events now. And the fact that people love that they are amongst like-minded people. I mean, we have people that come along and say, you know what, this is the highlight of my year. Because in the community where they live, everyone thinks they're crazy. They can't talk about any of these subjects. And because we take over the whole hotel, it means that everybody in the hotel is part of the alternative community. And like I've said, although people may disagree, that creates healthy debate, but nobody is going to be dismissed on the basis of their viewpoint on any subject at all. And then the benefit is what comes out of this event. It's not just a conference. It's, and the reason that I'm very selective about the speakers that I have is that the speakers are all activists. You know, they're not just commentators, they are activists in some way, shape or form. They take a direct role in trying to bring about at least one of the changes that we all know we need to see. And so the whole idea is that people are then motivated, stimulated and inspired to go away and participate, because it's participation that brings about change. You know, both the US and the UK political system actually rely on people not participating. You know, they want people's votes, and then they want you to leave and disappear and don't bother the politicians. But of course, if people do bother them, and especially if a lot of people bother them, and it's clear that there is a groundswell which might actually cost them their position in office, then that's when you start to bring about change. And obviously, if you can actually get the message across to, as I've already said, the younger or more recently appointed people in public office, then they are still motivated to do the right thing. And, you know, these are the people who are well worth trying to engage with. I mean, obviously, if they're dismissive, then don't waste your time, move on, try with somebody else. But you build up that groundswell in your community, because nothing gets a politician's attention quicker than a realization that they're at risk of losing their gravy train.
Now, are all your speakers accounted for AV11?
Oh, no, because I don't actually... this is the beauty of it. I mean, even though I haven't announced the speakers, it's still sold out. And the reason being because I always choose speakers who are absolutely on point on a current issue. So I actually don't even really start to think about the speakers until probably about January, February of the year of the event. So, you know, I give myself about 3 months. But I've never yet had a speaker turn around and say they can't do it. And of course, you know, I bring international speakers over, so, you know, people get to see speakers and talk to speakers who they wouldn't perhaps normally get the opportunity to have a conversation with.
Now, the culture of deceit and the pantomime of politics at AV 10.1, briefly, what's that about? What is that going to encompass?
Well, I think what we're seeing is the pantomime of politics. And, you know, obviously the culture of deceit is, I'll give you an example. You know, Theresa May stated on no less than 108 occasions in her term as Prime Minister that Britain was leaving the EU on March the 31st of this year. And as I'm sure most of your listeners know, that didn't happen. And that is the sort of deceit that we're talking about, you know, where the statement is made knowing that it will not be honoured. And this is normal now. You know, politicians have, they don't just have a casual relationship with truth. They have no relationship with truth. You know, they will say whatever it is that they feel they need to say to effectively keep the masses at bay and keep them, you know, in some form of sort of stasis. So that's an example of the deceit. And then the pantomime, you know, we are clearly seeing Boris, and although people like to think that Boris and Nigel Farage and Jeremy Corbyn are good, genuine people, the reality is they're not. They are actors, and they get their marching orders. And, you know, we'll be looking at the number of U-turns that these individuals make and the lobbying that goes into it. And of course, we're looking at what it is that we need to do to change this. And that doesn't mean necessarily change the system. It actually means getting people to engage in the system. It's not the system that's broken. It's the fact that people don't engage with it. And of course, they're discouraged from engaging with it. But what we are seeing, and you have many, many examples in the US where, you know, when a community really gets motivated to engage with the powers that be, then they can bring about change. But it needs, you know, a percentage. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a big percentage. I mean, it's amazing what, you know, just say 5 or 6% of the population can achieve, because the vast majority of people in the scheme of things are an irrelevance. You know, they're just not going to get involved. All they're interested in, understandably, is trying to get through their time on this mortal coil, you know, keep a roof over the head, food on the table, and the IRS at bay. And if they can achieve that, then they're happy, and maybe take the family on vacation, you know, every now and again. You know, so they're not going to engage one way or the other. So
yeah, it's always a vocal minority. I believe Margaret Mead said that, although I wouldn't agree with Margaret Mead on a lot of things, but her and others have said it's always a vocal minority that get exactly. things done.
And our challenge is to make sure that the vocal minority are representing the interests of humanity and not the corporatocracy.
Yeah, now I would add that systemic change might be necessary financially in terms of the monetary system.
Without doubt.
Yeah, because the monetary system has a undue and unholy effect over the rest of the political system. It trumps the judicial, it trumps the executive, and it trumps the legislative. But yeah, some of it is simply getting involved, while maybe systemically it would largely be the monetary and financial system that would need changing. But
you know, if you could build up the groundswell. Look, the vast majority of people still don't understand fractional reserve banking. They don't understand fiat currency. You know, and in the U.S., of course, Nixon, Kissinger, and James A. Baker III pulled off a stunning coup on August the 15th, 1971, when they took the U.S. dollar off the gold exchange. And that, of course, led to the 1973 opportunity to create the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency. But, of course, it's a fiat currency. And, you know, one of the reasons that it really doesn't matter at the moment just how much debt the U.S. has. I mean, I don't know what the current level of debt is. What is it? $20 billion or something?
It's officially $22 trillion, but in the aggregate, it's about $300 trillion.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because it's all fiat. And, you know, basically, we need to return to the gold standard and get things back on track and have, you know, money that's real. But now, at the moment, that is so far beyond most people's comprehension that their eyes still glaze over. Admittedly, more people have an understanding since the global financial collapse of 2008. But nonetheless, it's not yet enough to bring about that systemic change. But, you know, with the next global financial collapse, which is looming very, very quickly, then I think people will start to get it. And then we might start to be able to build that groundswell that brings about that change. But we have to get off of fiat currency. We have to get away from literally banks being able to create money out of thin air.
Yeah, I'm not a gold bug, I'll admit that, but it's an interesting concept that nevertheless, the debt-based money system, of course, is very problematic because of the interest charges and what those do to the economy. But all that aside, let's not forget about the upcoming 5G programs. I named just a few of them. Let me go back up that list. I was saying Appledore starting September 7th, Bristol September 9th, Plymouth September 10th, Bournemouth, if I'm saying any of these wrong, correct me, September 11th, Portsmouth, Thursday, September 12th. You got them right in a row here. And Brighton, closer to the water there, the 13th of September, south of London there. And then you go on Canterbury, September 17th and onward, London, September 18th, Reading, September 19th, and then some 18 more after that or something like that. So pretty impressive. By the time you get down the list, you're working your way up to Manchester and Leeds, Glasgow, Belfast, Cardiff, and I think Cardiff is in Wales.
Yep, two in Wales, Cardiff and Swansea. I've already done a few in Wales, and that ultimately led to the communities, or one of the communities, meeting with their MP. She did her research, and then she made a presentation in Parliament and raising the concerns, which, of course, the industry then just dismissed as rampant conspiracy theory. But, of course, at the same time, not offering any evidence to prove it's safe. So, yeah, this is all part of trying to get the communities to understand that they need to take a look at this because, you know, the microwave frequencies that are being used have been known to be carcinogenic since the 1970s, since the U.S. Navy did some research and indeed published a paper on the subject.
Interesting.
And people have known that even the 2G and 3G phone masts caused problems amongst some people. You know, and even the language used by Public Health England, which is the pseudo-government body, that is responsible for giving advice on the issue. And, you know, they, you look at the language that they use, and they say that there is insufficient evidence to...
Of course.
For concern. But insufficient evidence, obviously, the language is weaponized, because insufficient evidence means there is some evidence.
Yeah, but insufficient doesn't mean zero, exactly.
Exactly. And so this is how they're getting away with it. But I encourage your viewers, listeners, to look at the Senator Blumenthal summary.
Richard Blumenthal, the American senator, right?
Exactly. And, yes. And okay. He held two hearings, one in December. He was so dissatisfied with the industry response in December, he gave them 2 months to respond. And when they reconvened in February, there was no change. And there won't be any change. So the reality is that the industry, the telecoms industry, the global telecoms industry cannot state that there is any independent study that prove 5G frequencies to be safe. And, you know, by the time people realize, they wake up and realize that the situation in Ripon in California is not a one-off. You know, and that there are going to be more and more examples of this. And the media and the industry will do everything they can to avoid people actually joining the dots. And what they're hoping is that, you know, by the time people do join the dots, basically, you know, they're so dumbed down by being exposed to this stuff that they'll just roll over. And let's not forget that these frequencies, albeit on higher power, but these frequencies are the same frequencies that are used by the military for active denial. And so ultimately, you know, what's to stop the military taking over the networks, ramping up the power, and literally creating a situation, you know, where people can't function? I mean, if you look at the evidence from the firehouses, and I know it's, you know, the industry has tried to dismiss this as conspiracy. But, you know, as long ago as 2001, you know, people who were working in buildings that had taken money for putting a foam mast on top were complaining that, you know, they were suffering insomnia, depression, being suicidal. And so the phone masts were quietly removed and placed elsewhere.
Hey, Ian, we've got the Clarion call there. Here come the ads for the end of the show. I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Pleasure, Mark. And I, final word, yep. Encourage communities to do their own research.
Absolutely. ENRCrane.com, ladies and gentlemen. ENRCRANE, ENRCrane.com.
IAN, Mark, it's IAN.
Well, sorry, IAN, sorry. IANCrane.com. INR, gosh, IAN, ENRCrane.com. Very good, Ian. Thanks for being on and providing a comprehensive explanation. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.
And we'll see everybody next time here on Stop the Presses. Have a great day.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.